broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
A great day to be alive on this Wednesday. Kyle Brustin Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. But the Packers play on Mondays, it throws it off. Like yesterday totally felt like a Monday based off the 10-7 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, never. I don't think I need Sunday to come for me to hear the 10-7 loss and feel okay. Who loses 10-7?
A team that's struggling.
Yeah, just a score you don't see. I feel like the Packers here too often.
Look up there on the team. Packers lose 10-7. It just looks really weird.
It is. Like 7 points. Like one. Usually, if you score 7 points, maybe the other team has 17, 21, 24.
Isn't that 10-7.
10-7.
I think the Packers and Bears opened up 17 or something. It was like a 10-3 opener. It was ugly.
Yeah,
I think maybe it was the 100th year of the NFL that they played each other to open up the season. But like those weird low scores. It's not even weird. Like obviously, like it was a touchdown and a field goal.
10-7. It's like 1950.
And a touchdown and an extra point. It's like
a youth game, you know, where fifth graders where they can't move the ball. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, you just had a couple of plays that broke out, but that's that.
Did your significant others watch the game with y'all at all?
Lexi did, yes.
How bored were they?
She even said, she's like, this is such a boring game.
Yes.
Oh, before she went upstairs, she said, this is a riveting game.
Yeah. Mine said, this is boring. She said, you know what? It's the fourth quarter. Maybe I'm the problem. I'm the bad luck. So she said, I'm going to bed. It's boring.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. I'm Ben Brust alongside, as I did eat too fast, clearly Kyle Wallace in his plaid fall winter Christmas look.
Yeah, I say a little fall. We still in the fall. Strope loves
it. Feels very Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
Very Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is around the corner. Maybe I should have saved it for that day. But I looked in the closet and I said, oh, yeah, that's the one today.
Brad Northman, longtime NFL punter, Super Bowl 50 runner-up. We're going to need him today because kicking controversy continues in Green Bay. But Bradley, how are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, I love talking special teams. This kicker situation, I'm going to try to help you figure it out because it is just there's a lot of strange things going on in Green Bay right now. This might be one of the stranger things that is going on.
And we have Alex Stroh back with us running the show, full of energy, full of smiles, full of joy. What's going on, Stroh?
What's up, fellas? Good to be back with you. Full of smiles might be a little bit exaggerated.
I did that because you gave me a thumbs up and I kept hyping you up to the point where I wanted you to speak.
Got it. I'm just trying to cut some audio that you requested from me. So
get back to it.
Yeah, I will. I've got it ready in a moment. But rough one on Monday.
Like
huh?
I said, get back to it. 800-990-ESPN.
YouTube, how about the weather?
YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Want to hear from you 2 days removed. Matt LaFleur spoke to the media. We're going to get you a couple of those that Alex Stroh is working on so you can hear what the coach had to say after a day of sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying the crap that was put out on the field. Kyle, how are you feeling?
I'm still not feeling too well, but, you know, it's Wednesday. The birds is chirping. The weather is heating up. Your boy might be putting up the Christmas lights early this year because it's going to be hot on Saturday. And, you know, hey, it's a big game on Sunday, but right now I think it's time to focus on Sunday, fellas.
So you're already optimistic? Turned the page from the debacle that you watched.
You know, I was mad, and I still think Matt LaFleur got a little flames on his behind. But listen, hey, that wasn't a bad loss. At the end of the day,
it
was ugly. Hear me out, okay? Kyle out.
I'm fine with that. I just want to reiterate. You're starting this off with our audience by telling them this wasn't a bad loss.
It felt bad. It felt ugly. But at the end of the day, let's look at the positives, KBN Nation. The Green Bay Packers defense that has Micah Parsons, did they not play well? Did that not play at an elite level on Sunday?
Played excellent.
They played at an elite level. And so the offense that we have with the Green Bay Packers that is problemsome right now, have we not seen that offense elevate to a whole different level before in the past and this season?
Well, that's right. Losing Tucker Kraft.
There is an offensive line struggling with no real solution. There's a movie that y'all don't know about. It's a movie called How Stella Got Her Groove Back. So all the black folks listening definitely heard about How Stella Got Her Groove Back. How the Green Bay Packers got their groove back is what the rest of the season is going to be about. How does that offense get their groove back, get that strut in their walk back? And I think this Green
Bay
Packers.
You tell me how. You're just asking the question.
Well, it comes down to something that some would say is simple, but it comes down to better execution by this offense. So that's why when I look at a loss to the Eagles, understand, the Eagles are still one of the best teams in the NFL. I hear everybody talking
about the Panthers.
Listen,
about the Browns?
We talking about right now. Wait a minute. Everybody's talking about the Rams. Oh, the Rams are the darlings. Guess what? The Rams play the Eagles. How'd that go for them? They lost. Okay, exactly. So the Rams ain't playing
anybody. The Packers
anybody.
Lost.
This is what I'm saying. Let me finish.
It's confusing,
Eagles,
all right?
You are still getting the hear-brat out treatment, by the way.
The Eagles are still a good football team, and the Packers went toe-to-toe defensively with a team that is the defending Super Bowl champions, and there is not a doubt in my mind, if you had to pick today, if you had to put $50,000 on one team in the NFC to win the NFC this year, you are picking the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, especially off of what they've done this year. The Eagles have beaten the Buccaneers, who are leading the NFC South. The Eagles have beaten the Rams, who are up there in the NFC West. So what are we talking about? The Eagles are still a good football team. The Green Bay Packers are a good football team. They have lost their way offensively, but they can still have an opportunity to find themselves. So again, I'm saying at this point, yes, Sunday, I did not like it.
How much longer do we have to let them find themselves?
That's what the whole season is about. They're getting more and more lost. That's not what the season is about at this point.
The season about is hitting the stride. They're going backwards.
They got 3 weeks to figure it out. These next three games are going to be indicative of what this season's going to be.
So everything's fine to you?
No. I'm not saying everything's fine, but I'm saying that we shouldn't be in panic mode. When you say
they need to execute better, when we ask Mark Tauscher about executing better, he's like, I can't tell you that they're going to do that. So why the hell is Kyle Wallace telling us, based off what we've seen through the Green Bay Packers, that they're going to start doing things that they've continuously showed us that they are not doing?
Listen, Matt LaFleur is a hell of a coach. Matt LaFleur has won a lot of football games. Matt LaFleur has taken a football team. And again, this is a couple years ago, but you're asking me why I believe this. I have to use historical data, right? I look at this football team back when they were struggling when Jordan Love was his first year as a starter with the Packers. They were 3-6, and what did they do? They ripped off a whole bunch of wins, and they were able to make the playoffs and even got out the first round. Last year, Matt LaFleur showed me that he does still have some creativity left in that offense. I know it was lesser competition, but Malik Willis went from he can't throw, he can't be a quarterback, to he led us to victories. And so all I'm saying is this, is that I understand these last couple weeks have been...
I get it,
but the quarterback was who?
All of the context matters. You're picking and choosing without putting the qualifiers of what happened.
Has Jordan Love ever had a season where he finished under 500 as a starting quarterback in the NFL, yes or no?
He's been super close.
The question was, he's been super close. What am I supposed to, it's 9-8.
So, I love this. This is who you are. And who you are is a believer in the Packers and finding the optimistic view. My question to you is, what is a successful season for this Packers? From Kyle Wallace's lens. I don't need anyone else's. Kyle Wallace's glasses over there.
What
is a successful season for this team?
The goals and objective of the season that we stated earlier to start the year, that has not changed. Which is going to the NFC Championship as a minimum. The journey is going to be rocky, right? But that's part of the ride.
But the NFC Championship, they can reach that still.
NFC Championship or bust. Right now is looking a little bleak, but again, that's right now. 3 weeks ago, we were still... when they beat the Steelers, we said, The last point he just made to us, Brad, was
has he ever finished below 500? No, but he's been a 7 seed the last 2 seasons. And right now, your talk with us about how
10 wins is going to get them in there. 10 wins is going to have them not hosting a playoff game, having to go on the road again. The same journey we've been through the last two years, which is why this season was important to show progress and growth so you're not putting yourself in the same situation that you failed doing the two prior years.
When you have, again, the Green Bay Packers should not be afraid, and I know they're not afraid, based off the way they competed against the Eagles on Monday night.
Packers competed. The defense competed. Because Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love showed up.
There is not a football team in the NFL that the Green Bay Packers cannot and will not compete with. And I said it before, and I understand. There's no love in the fact that you're losing football games because a loss is a loss. But again, when you lose three games,
but it was a good loss.
All your losses have come by three. That just shows me right there, this is a very good football team that is struggling to find consistency. Can they find that consistency? That is to be seen. But we should not write these Green Bay Packers off. The season is not over yet. We have a lot of football that's left to play. And literally, 2 weeks from now, we could be singing a whole different song.
Listen, fellas, we could hope.
It's this simple.
We can hope they're going to do all the things better that they haven't proven through nine games.
If the Green Bay Packers, when the Green Bay Packers beat the Giants on Sunday.
Oh, this is a big proclamation. Oh, guys, if the Packers beat the Giants.
I'm going to be patient. And if the Lions lose to the Eagles and the Bears lose whoever they're playing, who knows, their sorry-ass schedule they got. If they lose, guess who's in first place? Take one guess. If the Bears who's in first place?
Are they playing a brand of football that you feel confident over the next eight games that they're going to have a better record than the Bears, the Lions? Maybe not the Bears, but the Lions. How about that?
The next 3 weeks are going to be imperative for the Green Bay. Because
Kyle, I don't want to do this to you. You've done it to yourself. This is the Carbless Talking text line. Kyle is delusional from Jeff. Matt the Mouse sucks, and if he thinks this is a NFC Championship caliber coach, you're nuts. Kyle should teach a class at Whitewater, the mastery of flip-flopping. Sam in the 414, please, Kyle. Dude, your flip-flopping is insane. Wait. Not a bad loss. What?
Whoa. What I'm saying is...
We're all still trying to figure it out, to be honest.
It was ugly, but in the grand scheme of things, you lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are a perennial opponent. They're a championship caliber team. And no, I wanted to win that football game.
What about the other eight games? What about the other losses? That doesn't matter to you?
But what about some of the wins? Like, we can nitpick.
Are those wins other than the Lions you can say you're like, yes, I feel really good about what they did?
Sure. Okay. You're right. I mean,
that's a huge part of the equation.
But again,
taking victories from the losses versus not being able to get any evidence from the wins as to why you're confident?
I took no victory from the Panthers loss. I took no victory from the Browns loss. But what I do know is that the Green Bay Packers have a lot of games in front of them, and opportunity is still there. They have five games in this division to still play. The Green Bay Packers are better than most teams, okay? That's the point blank period. They are. The Green Bay Packers ain't chopped liver. They ain't some scrubs. The Green Bay Packers can compete with any and every team in the NFL this year. That's why all it takes is they can get this offense going. And Matt LaFleur, he's supposed to be a genius on offense. Jordan Love's supposed to be an elite quarterback. If they're able to figure it out, because the Eagles were a tough, stiff competition on Monday night, and they played hella good football against the Packers defensively. When the Packers get this figured out offensively, we're going to be okay. They're going to be singing a different tone.
Taken singularly, the Packers versus the Eagles. Yeah, I get that a three-point loss to the Eagles doesn't look that bad. You had a chance to even win at the end of the game, remarkably, after all said and done. But the way that everything is trending is what leads me to have a level of concern. So you said, Kyle, you said NFC Championship game or bust. Does this team make it to the NFC Championship game?
As of right now, I would be dumb to say that the Packers make it to the NFC Championship game. I'll be very honest. I'll be very idiotic to say, based off they lost two games in a row, one to the Carolina Panthers, who are just an average, below average football team, and one to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are not the same Eagles, I believe, that what they were last year, even though they still have a lot of good talent. They're not playing to that same level they played at last year. No, it would be foolish to say that. But again, I do believe the Green Bay Packers have it in them to make a run, but again, we need to see how everything plays out. So we should not lose hope. That's my big
thing. I got a follow-up question.
Hey, Strofe, you better be on my side.
I'm not on anybody's side. I'm just asking a follow-up question.
If you jump ship now, ain't going to be room. This boat is sailing off without you.
I just have a follow-up question. You just went on a tangent saying how the Eagles are not what they were a year ago, but about 3 minutes ago you said if you had $50,000, you would put it on the Eagles to win the NFC.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I don't trust the Seahawks. I don't trust Sam Darnold. I don't trust the Rams.
Let's go through that in a second. We have more time to look at Kyle's view of the NFC in comparison to the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to Mark and Franklin. You are on the Carbless Talk and Text line. It was a good loss, according to Kyle Walls.
So, hey, guys. Good afternoon. I love the topic. But, since the Packers took Jordan Love in the 2020 draft, a lot of the fans of that selection have, lauded it by telling the rest of the fans who would like to compete for Super Bowls that, hey, look, the Packers have remained competitive after losing Aaron Rodgers. But if you look at it currently, the Packers are behind six teams in the NFC, the Lions, Bears, Buccaneers, Eagles, Rams, and Seahawks. And all six of those teams acquired their quarterbacks after the Packers selected Jordan Love. The Rams have been in the Super Bowl. The Eagles have been in the Super Bowl. They got their quarterbacks, after the Packers took Love. In 2020, T. Higgins was there for the Packers to select. He would have been a key component, certainly the second best receiver on the team in 2020 and 2021 with Rodgers to compete for a Super Bowl, he'd still be the number one receiver in Green Bay. You're talking about, did the Packers kind of blow their window? Yeah, they have, because they want to be competitive, and they took an ultra-conservative route. They drafted a quarterback and sat him for 3 years, wasting his rookie contract scale advantage. And now we have a $55 million quarterback who the head coach doesn't trust.
Yeah, Mark, we appreciate the call and your insight. That leads to a different conversation about this championship window. Rob Domofsky will join us later in the program. And in his open, when we introduce the bold, the bald, the beautiful Rob Domofsky, Strofe highlights him saying their championship window is wide open. That feeling is a little bit different right now. Especially after Kyle's confidence in them going to the NFC Championship game in year three as part of Goody's plan of getting these guys on the same track for this year three, Jordan Love being 27. Brad, I know you have thoughts on that. But again, on the Carbless Talk and Text line, James the Postman pointing out the obvious, Kyle, it's not just about the loss itself. It's about how they keep losing.
No, I fully understand, but I have not lost faith in Matt LaFleur and his office. I haven't. I mean, again, I may
have
a reality.
What are they proving to you to have confidence in?
I may have a reality check coming soon. I mean, potentially that may be it, but I have faith that Matt LaFleur and his expertise and what he has shown me over a course of now, what, this is his seventh season as a coach? Over the course of those seven seasons, we're going to find out whether he's going to end up. I think one of us said
he a man or is he a mouse?
Well, is he going to go down the same path that Mike McCarthy went down, where we realized that offense was stale and outdated? Or is it going to be a different path where they get rejuvenated? We will find out.
It was not a bad loss, according to Kyle Wallace, but it was a loss nonetheless after I think we all and you also agreed that you can't lose two in a row at home like they just did. We continue on with you. The championship window is interesting, got me thinking. I'm glad Rob Domofsky from that time is coming on today. 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. Kyle says this isn't a bad loss, and he has all the optimism in the world. For what reason, I don't know. Do you have optimism? Let us know. Or you can just keep bashing Kyle on the Carbless Talk and Text line. That's fun for me to read. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
And that Alex Strofe, you look like you had something to say.
Brewers! On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Shop the
Kyle Wallace is very optimistic about the Green Bay Packers' future. It wasn't a bad loss, according to him, to the Philadelphia Eagles, 800-990-3776.
This guy would be a great lawyer.
Spot the lie.
You'd be in a courtroom. Courtroom just repeating one little thing.
No lies.
I'm recapping. So for those
He's
who
shaping.
Are joining us right now.
That you could have definitely got O.J. Simpson out, too. You and Kardashian and what was the brother's name who was the lawyer?
Just don't give me ammo and I won't use it, Kyle.
You
are optimistic about this Packers team.
I am optimistic about
the And you said it wasn't a bad loss to the Eagles.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
So, spot the lie. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nordman, Alex Strofe running the show. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And, of course, the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Yes, Kyle?
Brad talking off air about who his attorney was.
What was that attorney's name?
It was Crockett. Somebody Crockett, right?
Not Crockett. But
all right, we're
going to
keep that one between you two. Let's go to Garrett in Watertown. Garrett, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Are you with Kyle?
I'm not really with Kyle. Not really against Kyle. Long-time listener. Great topic. Love the show. First-time caller.
Happy to have you.
But what I'm looking at is, if Packers score 15 more points throughout the season and in the perfect times, we are an undefeated team. Do you feel like, even though we're playing the same, are we going to be a really good team yet, or are we still looking like we are now? The parity in the NFL, the regular season doesn't seem really important as long as you make the playoffs and then you make your run.
Garrett, everything you're saying is correct. If the Green Bay Packers did blank, they would be blank, but they haven't done that. They haven't scored in those critical times. Jordan Love did fumble at the end of the first half against the Eagles. Like, they continuously have illegal formations that back them up in spots or stall drives or have a red zone turnover against the Carolina Panthers.
I think his point was more so they could be 8-0, but they could still look this poor. And I think he's curious, would the messaging be similarly? Like, they could have beaten the Eagles 13-7 in theory, right? It wouldn't have been a pretty win.
There were years where the Minnesota Vikings,
the 13-3 Vikings,
yeah, when they won, I mean, 12 one score games, mm-hmm. and they seemed to win them all. But you
lost to Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Yeah, you could still see through it and say, man, there are some issues here that if they don't get those corrected, it's not going to play well for them in the postseason. That's how I feel about this team. The offensive struggles, how LaFleur and Love aren't on the same page, the inability to run block, the inability to protect. This O-line is a problem. You take Tucker Kraft out, he was like 1/3 of your offense. You don't have guys that are willing to like step up in his play. There are so many issues that aren't easily fixed. That's my concern in the context of everything.
As Strofe and I were talking about this, I believe right as we're talking about Tucker Kraft going out potentially and then heading into the next game. No, it might have been before this, but we were talking about how Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, it was when Christian Watson wasn't back yet. Yeah. Those were your three leading wide or pass catchers last year. And Christian Watson is back, but having lost both Jaden Reed for as long as he's been out and Tucker Kraft for the end of the season, it's just been tough sledding. And I think Tucker Kraft, you were right on this, Strofe. I'll give it to you. Your disheartening view of this team, of what it could look like without Tucker Kraft, is felt on the field from the way that they play, what they're lacking, watching the backup tight end try and block the guy that got Phillips, who got traded from.
Jordan Phillips.
He just went off him. Tucker Kraft ain't letting him come off him, and those are the little things that pile up in these games. But let's go to Aaron and Appleton. Aaron, are you Team Kyle?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I do agree with Kyle. Yes, I am optimistic. It was not a bad loss. It was not a bad loss in terms of, well, our defense played great. The bad was lost with the offensive line and with our receivers. Love didn't have a bad game, but I don't think it was a bad loss, and I'm pretty optimistic that we could get going.
Wow, how about that, Kyle? Yeah. Kyle, you're leading the charge.
Shout out to you. Who was his name?
Aaron.
Aaron, shout out to you.
What did Aaron say that made you feel good about your take?
I don't sound like that, do I?
Kinda.
Aaron, I'm with you. I get what he was trying to say.
Which was what exactly?
Yeah, what did he say of substance
He was trying to say, in the grand scheme of things, Jordan Love didn't play that bad. He just didn't play that well. There were other factors that contributed to it. Like, I don't know, the lack of consistency on the offensive line, guys not catching the football, having to throw the Bo Melton on fourth down, and the play call. And I think I get what he was trying to say.
Go ahead, Brad.
Well, there are two things that won't get magically fixed. This offensive line, they stink. They're playing out of position. They're injured. They're going to have a hard time run blocking and protecting Jordan Love. That's just not going to get fixed overnight. or especially during the middle of the season. And Tucker Kraft, your main weapon. If we thought Matt LaFleur's offense was a little predictable when Tucker Kraft is in there, think about it now. If Luke Musgrave is in, you know they're probably passing. And if Fitzpatrick's in there, you know they're
probably running. To Tausch's point yesterday, it's almost like Quinyon Mitchell knew the first option and took it away because everything's so vanilla right now with Matt LaFleur and his play calling.
The only way.
It's on zone this way.
The only way this team goes to the NFC Championship game is if Jordan Love just completely starts cooking. Yeah, and, that's the only way.
But your coach has to allow you to start.
And that is,
we keep asking for things that we can't trust.
You're talking about Love and LaFleur being on the same page, receivers turning it up, him actually being protected. There's a lot of things to just make that happen, but I don't see the running game being fixed overnight.
You've gotten awfully quiet.
No, I need Jaden Reed and I need Matthew Golden back.
I hear you.
I do.
And I saw Roberto on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison saying, reinforcements are coming. There ain't no time for reinforcements, man. You gotta win. You can't just keep going and week to week and hoping and praying.
No, this is a big week. This is a big week for the Green Bay Packers to get it right. They got to get it right. You lose to the Giants, it's over. And I'm joining the it's over bandwagon.
Chef Ed, you're up on the Carbless Talking Text Line 800-990-3776. What's going on?
Oh, Chef Ed.
Yeah, happy Wednesday, guys. Yeah, you know, nobody's been harder on this team than me. But I want to tell Kyle. I'm not really Team Kyle, but I think in the last 8 games remaining, they're going to go 4-4. They'll be 9-7-1. The NFC and the whole league is weak this year. I think we'll sneak in. And once you're in, anything can happen in one game. So once we get in, anything can happen in that one game. So
that
keep
one
the positivity,
game,
Kyle.
That's the scary thing.
I don't know. I would bet that does not get you in.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of teams with 6 wins right now.
The Packers finished 4-6 on the team season in the last 10 games.
LaFleur can say sayonara.
Yeah.
Scott in Milwaukee, 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talking Text Line. Scott, you're up with KBN.
Hey, guys. Hey, look, you can analyze like the play at position groups and whatever. I think the most obvious challenge the offense has, and first of all, the long-term success of the team, it falls on defense. It always does in the NFL. We have a good-ass defense, so like, you know, there's that. I'm sorry for the A word, but
you're fine.
The biggest problem they have is that Aaron Rodgers, when Matt LaFleur came into this league as head coach, was like a 10th year first ballot Hall of Fame GOAT conversation quarterback who was keeping the entire defense off balance with second and third cadences. He was catching teams off sides, creating offense with those penalties, and then fine-tuning offensive play calls, making route adjustments on hot routes and or canning plays and calling new plays when the front and the coverage called for it. And it's unfair for us to sit around and compare third-year Jordan Love to 10th year first ballot Hall of Fame GOAT conversation Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like a lot of this is just an impatience and a fan base that because we had so much success in the first few years with Jordan Love, we suddenly think that it's going to be, you know, sustainable when, you know, I feel like the running game and the Eagles calling that play out, like, okay, they need the offensive coaches and the quarterback room need to get together and figure that piece out. But if they can just figure some of those things out so that those audibles and hot routes and adjustments start happening, the defense will pick it up and we have a really good running back. So I feel like a lot of this is just talking to talk. I think part of it is just we're privileged to have the team that we do and that we have a fan base that can be as impatient as we are with a quarterback who's already playing better than most.
Thank you, Scott.
I get what you're saying, and there's truth to the fact that you can't compare Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers. You just can't do that. However, we've been on this program and we've done a deep dive study into how old quarterbacks are when they win a Super Bowl. The bulk of quarterbacks, there's outliers like Tom Brady and rookies Flacco. Like Russell Wilson. It's like 27 to 30. That is the bulk of quarterbacks that win the Super Bowl. Jordan Love's turning 27 this year. Like, there is no time to waste. That is when experience plus skills plus physicality all marry up together, that is your window to win the Super Bowl. Once you're over 30, you lose a step and, you know, you just don't have quite the same window. So now is the time. And he's a 6-year quarterback, right? Third-year starter, 6-year in the league.
Y'all just talking to talk. That's what he said. Y'all just talking to talk.
Kyle's going to say that the rest of the show now.
All right,
I see you on the Carbless Talking Text Line. Stay on the line, 800-990-3776, Carbless Talking Text Line. See your text. We're obviously discussing this Green Bay Packers team and the inconsistencies, and if you believe that it's fixable in the middle of the season, if there's belief that they can actually reach their goals that everyone had at the beginning of the season and through the first couple weeks of the season. So,
Hashtag Team Kyle. I saw it on YouTube. Hashtag Team Kyle.
You and the
ESPN
three other people
Milwaukee
that have jumped
YouTube.
In.
Hashtag Team Kyle. I love it.
We keep digesting this Packers team with you and just talking to talk, as Kyle would say. Next.
I started from the A-word.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
I text Greg Scalzo, and I say, Greg, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late to work. I'm caught in an international conspiracy.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're not going to give up play calling, I assume?
No.
That was Matt LaFleur. Today at his press conference, he ain't giving up that play calling.
A little smug laugh, a little.
Who we gonna give it to?
I'm the smartest guy there ever is to call plays, but yet I score 7 points against the Eagles and 13 against the Panthers.
This is why, I don't know, part of me just wonders. Matt LaFleur's awareness at the podium. He feels like he has this license to just be a little sassy and a little bit like I'm running the show. And I guess he's the head coach. He has that. Why wouldn't he say, Jason, thanks for that question. I understand.
Oh, Jason who asked that question?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's who it was coming in. I appreciate you asking that question. I know our offense isn't where it needs to be. I'm looking in the mirror to do everything possible to make sure that we get back to our standard.
Yeah, he's too friendly
Not,
with Jason.
No. And then like a
God's
Bond,
gift to play calling.
Like a Bond villain laugh.
Yeah, some news, KBN Sports Desk news, I would probably say. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Elgton Jenkins with his fractured fibula is out for the season. And as we were just discussing, the poor guy got forced to move into the center position. And he did what was right for the team, trying to be a team guy. But he wanted some more guaranteed money. Now he's down for the count.
Team? This ain't no team.
He's unlikely to return this season.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Well, when you break your leg, you're probably going to miss a lot of time. But it is not fully ruled out. He's just on IR. He could return as soon as 4 weeks. Likely won't be. But just want to make sure we're getting our verbiage right. Okay.
That journalist stroke.
Hasn't been ruled out for the season.
He's done.
He is unlikely to return this season.
He ain't coming back next year with $18.5 million.
Yeah.
You are probably right.
You hate to see that.
Let's go to... Carl and Gleason, 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. You're up, Carl.
Hey, guys. To a degree, I do agree that it wasn't a bad loss because it was the Eagles we lost to. But the thing I'm concerned about is the way we lost. Our offense, they're undisciplined, a lot of mistakes. And to me, they just seem like they're playing panicked, like they're trying to look two plays ahead instead of just finish the play in front of you, block the guy in front of you. I don't know if they're reading into all the hype when they got Micah Parsons or what, but it's pathetic. I'm a lifelong Packer fan owner. It's pathetic these last two games.
Thank you, Carl. It has been pathetic for Carl.
Shout out to my fellow owner, Carl.
Good drop in there, Kyle. Rick and Madison, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Text Line because I am curious where you're taking this one.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the receivers may be the guys that are dropping the ball, kind of pun intended. But
nice.
If you look at those illegal formation plays, those were both mistakes on the parts of receivers. There's probably a handful of times in the last couple of games that I've noticed they break the huddle, they're going up to the line, and before Love even gets a chance to get a look at the defense, he's already pointing to the receivers and telling them, get to the other side. You're lining up in the wrong place and pushing them one way or the other. You take those things and, you know, so if they don't know where to line up in the first place, how can we trust them to run the right routes? So I feel like, you know, everybody's talking about the coach and about the quarterback, but I really feel like the receivers are culpable in all of this, too.
Well, they're part of it, Rick, and I'm glad you brought that up. But it goes to one thing that it all ties back to, leadership.
Is that, Brad, yeah, I mean, coaching, you tell no, me. Yeah. That's coaching.
No, you're right. I mean, if you were to say the receivers are dropping passes, I would say, yeah, that's wide receivers. They got to look the ball in. That's a physical error based on the receiver. But if you're lining up in the wrong places, if you're running routes in the same area, we were having this problem 2 years ago with these young receivers. That's on the coach to either correct it or to get them out of there if they're doing it, because it's like one of those things in week one of any given training camp. Bro, if you can't learn the playbook, now as a punter, I had no playbook, you know, hand to God, obviously. But like, if you can't learn the playbook, and these are not, you know, simple playbooks, but if you can't learn the playbook, bro, you ain't playing. Like, you are
this is
off
the NFL
team, and you're not playing. This is your job. You need to line up right. You need to know the rules. Yeah. You need to look down the line, and if you see someone else on the line with you, you say, oh, this isn't right, before a flag gets thrown. So that's coaching. That's awareness. These are young guys. Coaches, they've been doing it for a long time. You need to put on these guys the coaching to make sure that never, ever, ever happens.
Yeah, that's setting the standard what the expectation is. He reminded me there was a route where two guys were crossing each other and they were in the way, and Jordan Love couldn't
exactly
guard either one of them because they were both in the way of each other. There was Josh Jacobs, who he gets the pass, but Josh Jacobs, who turned his shoulder the wrong way on the screen pass, that would have been a huge play for the Packers, but he turned the wrong way. And then also, I remember Dontavian Wicks, as they were driving down the field, Jordan Love literally told him, go right that way, that way. It's like already three receivers to the other side. And I'm thinking the same thing that the caller was. I'm thinking, oh, he don't know where to line up. How do you know where Roddy's supposed to run? And so that's an issue. That's a problem.
And I think about a little bit the time with Aaron Rodgers, right? Because now we're seeing, I think at first there was this narrative like, man, Aaron Rodgers was a diva. Like, kudos to Matt LaFleur for putting up with his drama. Now, that is true, right? However, there's also some on-field product that I think that Aaron Rodgers made up for Matt LaFleur. And now looking back, when Aaron Rodgers would cuss out a guy for being in the wrong place, for not being lined up correctly, whatever that mental error is, at the time you're a little bit like, ooh, that
He's
seems
mean.
Harsh. But now you're like, well, hold on, this is the result if you're not doing that, if you're not holding guys accountable. And imagine if you're Aaron Rodgers, even Jordan Love. Jordan Love looks frustrated from time to time, where he's like, guys, why can't we do this? Jordan Love seems like he makes some bad decisions, but at least he's doing things from a mental standpoint correctly. I couldn't imagine how Aaron Rodgers was feeling. Basically a PhD level of quarterback play, and you got guys lined up in the wrong place.
But this is the Packers strategy of going young. And with youth, you're going to have more of these errors.
That's true.
No. A lot of these guys is year three and year four. This ain't.
I agree.
You got to grow up.
I agree. More likely it's going to happen with younger players than veterans.
No, by year three, all that goes out the window. All these boys is basically threes and fours. Like I don't want to hear that. Tay Wicks not knowing where to line up is inexcusable.
Well,
this is why I have a hard time believing in your optimism when all the things that are that are being brought up, there's so many.
Well, they displayed that they've done it before, though. They've done it at a high level. That's the problem.
When have they done it at a high level against good defenses? Pittsburgh and Dallas, horrible pass defenses.
Those questionable defenses. We've seen them put up points before in the past. We've seen this offense work in the past with Jordan Love as a quarterback.
This year, we can't use the past. This is this team. This is what you're getting from this team and this coach, further along in his career.
What is crazy, up until the last week, this team was top six, I think, in scoring offense, definitely top 10 in scoring offense in the NFL. A 13-point game and a 10-point game going to take you away from that. But they had a streak. Remember, they were just scoring 27 points. And so it's just something became disjointed. But I think what it came down to is like, all these guys have a job. Offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, they have a job. And their job is to figure out, how do I slow down this offense? They have figured out how to slow down Matt LaFleur. Now it's on Matt LaFleur to figure out, how can I react to this? How can I scheme guys open? This is what teams are going to do. So with teams doing that, what can I do to counteract that, right? And so have to execute.
Adam and Madison, you're up on the Carpus Talking text line.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
So,
breaking it down.
I called in yesterday.
Talking to talk.
I called in yesterday. And I said that LaFleur should be fired. And I think we were all a little hasty on that. Yes, it is up to LaFleur for the leadership, execution, and all of that. But having a beer in my Clay Matthews jersey yesterday, reminiscing on the good old days, I was wondering how much of his current play call is a Band-Aid for how awful the offensive line has been doing.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, the offensive line.
Man,
is
sounds
bad.
Like everyone needs to put on their favorite vintage jersey.
It fixes everything. What a line!
I just need to grab my Woodson jersey tonight.
I mean, I got to put on a retro jersey and grab a Carbless, then I'll be thinking really clearly. Because when I grab a Carbless, boy, everything is right in the world. Just like our caller, I'm thinking more clearly. I'm enjoying life a little bit more. And with Carbless, I'm enjoying life because there's zero carbs, zero sugar, zero gluten, and just 100 calories per can. The amount of carbonation is literally perfect. Ben and I, with the owner and founder of Carbless, Adam, we had one back here in the market hall. With the first sip, I was reminded, oh, it's so good. It was a black raspberry, and the taste was off the charts. And speaking of taste, there's a taste for everybody. I mean, there's the margarita flavors. There's the classic cocktails. There's all the fruit flavors. So there is something for everyone. And a couple of, you know, inside Carbless, you know, next level, maybe talking nostalgia coming up here. They continue to reinvent the game because that's what Carbless does. They've reinvented the ready-to-drink cocktail, and they are the best for a reason. Find your bliss and discover why bliss is more with Carbless.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Matt LaFleur doesn't want to give up the play calling.
Are you joking?
There it is. More with you next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
These hands are not made for fixing anything in a house. I make a phone call and I'm cheap, but I ain't that cheap. I got my guys. Got my handyman. Shout out to Chris. Under the table.
Just like that. Dude's getting audited now.
Yeah. On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
LaFleur, he's just scored 13 points in 7 points. Like, just stop acting like you're God's gift. And everyone's seeing the lack of execution, the vanilla play calling, and acting like everything's good. I mean, I guess you have confidence. I'll give him that.
Who else are you going to give it to?
But he's not acting like a guy whose year will be under a microscope to determine if he's going to be back as the coach next year, right? Because Ed Policy, we know he doesn't want to
bring back
Maybe
they're working on an extension behind closed doors
Maybe. Just waiting for the ink to dry.
I don't think Ed won't that type of smoke.
There's a certain – not on the side. Like, he looks stressed on the sidelines. Whenever he's talking – whenever I see him talking in front of the media, he's smiling. He's happy.
Maybe he's just a guy who has confidence at this point, right? We talked about how he looked – you said stressed on the sideline. We talked
stressed.
About how he looks panicked at certain moments. So
he had a good night's rest.
Maybe he did have a good Sleep night's rest, but he understands that the NFL, you can only – is you know, Brad, and you've been as well because you play at a high level, you can only think about what happened Monday night for so long. At a certain point, you have no choice. You got it. You're scouting and getting ready.
Yeah,
literally,
see, this is where I disagree. Like, when I look at head coaches or executives or like people who are at the top of the top, they don't let things go, and it eats them alive to the point where I'm like, you're crazy, and I respect that level of crazy. Where I, again, what Brad had said earlier is what I'd be looking for. Like, we have not been good enough on offense. I understand why you're asking that question, but no, I'm not giving it up. I have watched every play, and I'm making sure that this team is so prepared to execute and do all right all the wrongs, because what we put on the field has been unacceptable, and I'm in charge, and I call the plays, and it has to be better.
Yeah, I mean, you're both kind of right, because, yes, you do need to turn the page any given week in the NFL. You can't dwell on the loss. But the competitors in the NFL, like it's a maniacal attack on your weaknesses. Like, you are crazy over the facts that are going wrong, and you are addressing the problems in a maniacal way, such that you're like, I will not rest until these are addressed so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that he's in the lab trying to figure out how he's going to execute and put points on the board against the Giants. I just don't think he's going to dwell on the Eagles game at this point. It stings him a little bit, but his focus is, how do we get back getting this offense right? How do we get back winning a football game? And how do we get this team right to look like a championship football team?
Let's go to Brittany and Marinette. Let's go to the Carbless Talk and Text line with you, Brittany.
It's actually Merrimack, not Marinette, but that's okay.
I've that's on you.
Hey, I even said to her, home of the Marines. That's where Marinette.
Yeah, I was really confused. I'm like, Merrimack doesn't even have a high school team.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Pat on the back of
I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
What do you got, Brittany?
I was just saying that I honestly just think that Matt LaFleur is the biggest problem. I don't know if you guys saw when the Eagles defensive line had a big stop. You see Nick Sirianni getting in all their faces, slapping their helmet, just all jacked up for his guys. I can't remember ever seeing Matt LaFleur do that. I just think he's uninspired. He's very boring. I think the Mighty Mouse is spot on with him.
Mighty
and like
Mouse.
If you think about it, yes, thank you. If we're ever in a game and, you know, say we're blowing them out, he can never just, like, stick his foot on someone's throat and just keep driving in the points because he's too worried about not being liked in the NFL.
Wow.
So I just think he's too soft. That's my opinion.
Well, because well your opinion is felt well amongst a lot of people.
It's hard
Brittany.
To argue against that.
I don't play up there in Merrimack. She said, put the foot on the throat
and keep it there.
And finish. Stop being there. Soft. I like that, Brittany.
That was good.
Merrimack.
That was good stuff.
Pretty spicy.
I have a problem, though. Is, Ben, you got people all the way up in Merrimack talking about Mighty Mouse. Look what you created. Look what you have created. But, I know in the locker room they know about the Mighty Mouse voice.
But like, probably. But like, you think I want that to be the truth?
Yes, you know. Well,
no. Like, I'm literally just calling how I see it, and the fact that people agree with it speaks more about what he is doing versus what I am doing.
Yeah,
Kyle.
No one's
Don't
calling.
Point at me. Point at the guy who's making me say he's Mighty Mouse.
No one's calling Dan Campbell a mouse.
I'm just, you know.
You always point at me like I'm the best. I'm just calling how I see it.
You got the dang coach of our football team in the house or a mouse house club over there, like we over at
it's
Disney.
It's the Mighty Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah, that's...
Come inside a legal formation.
That's so disrespectful. That's crazy.
We're
it's caught on.
We're going to play soft football and run an inside zone every time.
It's caught on. It is caught on. That you called our football coach a damn mouse.
Well, it was Robert Saleh for the Jets.
We're going to drag them in the deep end and they're not going to be able to hang with us.
That is his best friend.
And he said straight up, we can out-tough them.
That's true.
Based something like that.
You know, that's a great point.
He knows him.
No, that's a great
point. Look at Robert Saleh with them big-ass arms and jacked shoulders.
He's caught up.
He's defensive coordinator.
That is a great point.
And you look at Matt, and did Brittany say anything that you don't feel about him? Wanting to be, he is the most wanting to be liked. He went out with the Wisconsin media, all the guys in the press. You know why he wants to be liked?
Hey, why not get invited? I'm part of the press.
Yeah,
you would love that invitation.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have had a blast.
Would you go shoulder with Matt LaFleur?
Hell yeah, that's my boy.
That's your boy.
Hell yeah, wow.
Because he's a Packer fan and he's got an optimistic view that Matt LaFleur will turn us around.
I am
all the
owner
reasons
of the
that he's
team.
Proving us
yes.
that things might not.
Yeah.
Now that could they absolutely, but I don't have faith in it.
Nah, I'm a owner, so he had to respect me.
Time now for Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? It's happening on a Wednesday because it feels like a Tuesday. We had to get to all of you yesterday with KBN Nation. So, Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust is coming up next. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Let's go with caller number 7. 800 for the amount of points the Packers scored. 800-990-3776. You get to pick Kyle or Brad, whoever you want to ask you the questions. You're going to get 15 questions in 90 seconds. You're allowed to say skip or pass. And if you get through all the questions, you can go back to the ones you skipped. If you beat me, where I think I'm my 2-0?
No, you lost last week.
I thought I did, but I wanted to see if it slipped by you guys.
You are 7-29-7 on the calendar year.
800-990-3776. That's 800-990-3776. Ooh, 800-990-3776. Caller 7 to play Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust in 2 short minutes.